It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, Wisconsin has 42 Republican delegates up for grabs in today's presidential primary. We'll talk about what role these delegates could play in this summer's Republican Party convention. First, today is Wisconsin's spring primary election. It's also the first major election with Wisconsin's voter ID law in place. Mary Swakuza from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is with us now to tell us how things are going on the ground at the polls today. Mary, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So far, general impressions. What are you seeing at the polls?
I was actually just at the polls because I realized I hadn't voted yet, and I would be having a late night here at the office. And it was really busy, actually. The poll workers said that they have been pretty swamped. I had a small polling place, and they were already over 1,000 voters by about 1 p.m., and it looks like it's going to be a busy day there.
And I know that the Journal Sentinel is tracking what's happening today, as are all the major papers in Wisconsin, all eyes on it. There has been a high prediction of turnout for today. Now, based on what you've seen and what you've been hearing, is that coming out to be true?
I think so. I think at least it's sunny and not snowing, and people seem to be going to the polls. They are open until 8, so I don't think we'll have any kind of final turnout numbers anytime soon, but I definitely think we are seeing a really high turnout, especially for an April election.
And we have the new voter ID law in place this election. Any sense of how voters and poll workers are dealing with that?
You know, I have heard that there has been just a little bit of confusion among people about what they need to vote, what kind of ID, what kind of proof of residency, if they've moved, that sort of thing. I haven't heard of any major problems of, you know, people not being able to vote or having to cast provisional ballots. Certainly here and there that's been happening, but I have not heard of any just kind of widespread crisis going on.
And you said it's looking busy based on what you've seen. Are people reporting long lines, or are there expected to be long lines as the day gets later?
I think that there have been in some polling places that are going to see, you know, especially high turnout. And I think we'll just have to kind of monitor that. Obviously, if you're in line by 8 p.m., poll workers want you to stay in line because you can vote if you've already gotten to the polling place and you're just waiting.
All right, we'll leave
and
it there.
I think those lines might get a little longer after, you know, after work, too.
Well, thanks for making time, Mary. I know it's going to be a long night. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That was Mary Swakuza, reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She joined us today to talk about how things are going so far at the polls in Wisconsin today. Now we turn to another primary election story, this one out of Arizona. The Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice is investigating how the Maricopa County Recorder's Office handled Arizona's primary election in late March. Voters stood in line for up to 5 hours to cast their ballots in that county, which cut its polling places from 200 in 2012 to 60 for this year's primary. Christopher Conover has been covering the story, and he joins us now. He's a political reporter for Arizona Public Media. Christopher, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much.
So what happened at Arizona's primary election on March 22nd?
Well, as you said, the big story was out of Maricopa County, which is where Phoenix is, for people not familiar with the counties in Arizona. And as you correctly said, the number of polling places were cut back to 60 countywide, and people ended up standing in line for hours and hours and hours. The last vote was cast just before 1 a.m. local time, when polls close at 7 p.m.
Any sense about why that cut was made from something like 200 to 60 in terms of the polling places?
The Maricopa County Recorder, who oversees elections for Maricopa County, a woman named Helen Purcell, quickly came out and initially blamed independent voters. In Arizona, in presidential preference primaries, only those registered with a party, Democrat, Republican, or Green, can vote. Independents can't vote. And she initially said, well, a lot of people were in line who weren't eligible to vote. She walked that back fairly quickly and just said in the end she made a mistake. She underestimated the number of polls that she needed open based on Arizona's early voting laws and turnout the last time we had a presidential primary.
Has this ever happened in the history of Arizona primaries?
We've had lines, as the reporter you were just talking with said, there are always lines for an election, a big election like this, people just getting in line before the polls close. But nothing like this, not hours and hours and hours of waiting.
So you said that the last polls closed at something like 1 a.m. in the morning. So does that mean that the polls stayed open to accommodate everybody who was in line?
The polls did stay open. What they did is they sent a poll worker to the end of the line at 7 o'clock and said, okay, everybody in front of me gets to vote. Anybody not in line at 7 o'clock behind me doesn't get to vote. That way they were the last person in line, and the very last vote was cast just before 1 a.m. in Maricopa County.
And how did authorities in Arizona react to the trouble that people had voting in that primary?
The state legislature is in session. Very quickly, the House Elections Committee called a special committee meeting, brought the Maricopa County Recorder in front of the committee meeting, brought the Secretary of State in front of the committee meeting, and Arizona's legislature is Republican-dominated, and they gave the Republican County Recorder a piece of their mind, to say the least. And the meeting was open to the public, and public testimony was allowed. She was blasted by the public. She was blasted by members of the legislature. It was a long day for the County Recorder, and she just kept apologizing. We'll see if what laws are changed. One of the things that may change is the Attorney General wants to stop the reporting of numbers until the last vote is cast, because the way our law works here in Arizona, at 8 p.m., an hour after the polls close, the counties and the state can begin reporting numbers. He said that's not fair for those still standing in line. There are investigations, as you mentioned, from the U.S. Department of Justice and the Arizona Secretary of State's office into what happened. And Maricopa County has promised during the special election we have coming up on a local issue in May and our regular primaries in August and then in November, this will not be a problem again.
Were there any particular groups of people who were affected by these long lines at the polls?
That's an interesting question. A lot of people have tried to say this is a case of voter suppression. I just got off the phone, actually, with the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and she didn't really come out and even say that minorities or women, typical Democratic voters, were necessarily disproportionately affected as compared to Republicans in this. Some Republican members of the legislature were upset that there were no polling places in their legislative districts in Maricopa County. So it seems to be pretty wide cut across demographics and Republican versus Democrat, but that is one of the things that the Department of Justice has asked for. They want to see voting registration numbers and where those polls were placed.
Now, as you said, this was not obviously the general election. There are more voting days around the country. Are there any lessons to be learned for other states about what not to do at the polls on voting days?
It sounds like, in some ways, don't underestimate. We had very high turnout in Arizona. Each party had turnout in the high 40s, which overall brought our turnout in the high 40% percentile range, which is good turnout for a primary. So I think the lesson here is don't underestimate how many people are going to come out and vote this election based on previous elections.
Do you know anything about how people do estimate, the people who are in charge of running state elections, how you get a sense of who's going to show up at the polls?
What county recorders and election officials have told me is, first, they look at the historic trends. How do similar elections fare with turnout? Arizona has a wide-ranging early election law, so we begin voting essentially a month before Election Day. So they look at how many ballots were sent out. They put all those numbers together and you know, kind of stick their finger in the wind, I think, a little bit to see how involved people are, and then come up with how many polling places need to be open. In this case, Maricopa County says that was the part that broke down. They just underestimated based on the number of early ballots that had gone out and what had happened in previous elections.
Is there any sense that, you know, maybe this is just an exceptional year with a historic presidential election, or is it more of a we messed up in Maricopa County?
A lot of it is we just messed up in Maricopa County. A budget argument became part of the discussion during the legislative committee. Is the state giving the counties enough money to run these elections? Did that figure into part of the decision that the counties just didn't have the money to open up enough polls? The legislature really poo-pooed that idea, but it was brought up. Like I said, the elections officials statewide have said this will not happen in the upcoming elections. They will make sure that more polling places are open. Only time will tell on that, but I can't imagine that in Maricopa County, at least, that they'll stick with those 60 polling places.
Christopher, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Christopher Conover, political reporter for Arizona Public Media. He joined us there to talk about the U.S. Department of Justice's investigation into long wait times during the Arizona primary in Maricopa County.